This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي أما بعد All praise due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى and praise be upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم I testify that there is no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, we will continue inshallah with Riyad al-Salihin, this book that Imam al-Nawawi had put together and compiled all the different ahadiths and verses on how you could live your everyday Muslim life in order for you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obtain stronger iman and relationship with Allah azza wa jal. Inshallah tonight, inshallah we'll be talking about honoring the guest. Honoring the guest. And obviously we know that Islam focuses a lot on honoring your guests. To the extent that the Prophet Muhammad says in this hadith, which is the first hadith that we have before us tonight, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Day of Judgment, then let them be generous to their guests. Now when we say a guest, we're talking about someone who's coming to visit your place, or someone who's coming to visit your office, or someone who's coming to visit your center. So anyone that's coming to you is considered to be your guest. You could be out in the park and you've invited someone to a meal in the park, or you probably invited someone to a restaurant. He's your guest. But there's more rights upon you when you have a guest that's coming to your place than outside. So my brothers and my sisters, so important for us as Muslims and believers to take care of our guests. And it's part of Iman. That reflects upon your Iman. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi made it very clear, it's a sign of your Iman. It's a sign of your belief, your faith, your piety, righteousness, taqwa. When you are generous to your guests. And you know what? It's part of and a sign of lack of iman, lack of piety, and lack of taqwa when you are not that generous to your guest. When you are non-generous to your guest, it's also a sign of lack of iman. It's not a good reflection of taqwa and iman and piety when you don't take care of your guest. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about this, and this number of hadith the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken about. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to the importance of guests in the Quran al-Karim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the guests of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And one of the things, one of the qualities that Ibrahim alayhi salam had, that he never used to like to eat on his own. To the extent that sometimes when Ibrahim alayhi salam is by himself at home and he wants to eat, he'll go and look for someone, even someone just walking by. Someone from outside, just to bring him into his house, just to eat with him. And subhanAllah, that's a reflection of Iman and Taqwa, that people care about others. Because you know, what do you really get out of taking care of your guests? It's a good sign of generosity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Kareem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants His attribute of the Karam, generosity, to be rubbed off on you as the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the scholars, when they talk about the attributes of Allah azza wa jal, and they talk about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants you to implement the concept of those names in your lives. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to forgive other people. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you also to be merciful towards other people. Obviously Allah's forgiveness is different to yours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is by far a lot more greater than yours. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is by far a lot more greater than yours. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Karam, or He describes Himself and attributes to Himself as the Kareem or the most generous, obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Karam, generosity, is by far nowhere near yours. By far. Yours is nowhere near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Karam. Nowhere near it. But at least a bit of it. Exercise it. Implement it. Execute it in your life. Generosity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous. Allah is so generous that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even so generous to those who disbelieve in Him. Allah creates them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds them. And then at the end of it, they say, we don't even believe you exist. What worse can you ask for? Subhanallah, they're disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them into this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fed them. And Allah sustained them. And Allah provided to them. And Allah gave them and gave them and gave them and gave them and gave them. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you want to evaluate, quantify the number and the amount of ni'm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has upon you, will never ever reach a number. But on the top of all these, you've got people. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them into this dunya, and Allah, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them, and after Allah azza wa jal had bestowed upon them, they turn around and say, we don't even believe you exist. You don't even exist. Who made you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who gave you? Allah azza wa jal. Who sustained you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the top of all this, Allah is still generous towards them. On the top of all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still generous towards them. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if this dunya, if this world would equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a wing of a miskira, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not even give a kafir a cup of water. But we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the kuffar more than a cup of water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given by far a lot more than just a cup of water. So many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give the kuffar, the disbelievers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to implement and portray the quality of generosity. And when someone comes to you as a good gesture from you, as a good gesture from your side, is that you are generous towards the people who come to you. That's why Islam teaches us to be generous to everyone. And more generous to your guests when they come and visit your home, when they come and visit your place. I could hear some kids playing, crying, please keep your kids next to you and please take care of them. Jazakumullah khairan. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفة. Subhanallah. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever believes in Allah azza wa jalla and the day of judgment, then let them be generous to their guests. Part of Iman, that you take care of your guests. Part of Iman, part of faith, part of Islam, that you take care of your guests. And the more you take care of your guest, that's a more of a reflection of Iman in your life. The better that you take care of your guests, that's a reflection of your Iman. And the stronger that you have, Iman. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues to say, whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, then let them keep ties with their kins. And whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُوتُ. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, then let them say what's right or good, or keep quiet, silent. That's also a reflection of your Iman. When you only say what's right, you only utter with what's good. But if your tongue is filthy, then unfortunately that's not a good sign of Iman. A sign of Iman that you only say what's right. You only say what's good. Otherwise you keep silent. You keep quiet. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that. So my brothers and my sisters, Islam teaches us to be generous. To be generous to everyone. Muslim and non-Muslim. You know what? Not only mankind. Not only human beings. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoken about people who entered the Jannah. And one of them is a prostitute that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even mentioned in the hadith. She's a prostitute. And we know the crime and the gravity and the sin of prostitution in Islam. So big. It's one of the worst sins that someone can indulge in or fall in. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about a woman from Bani Israel. She was a prostitute, committing the crime of prostitution, the sin of prostitution. But when she saw a thirsty dog, and she gave water to that thirsty dog, so she was generous to that dog, to that living thing, not human being, to this living animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her enter the Jannah. Because generosity is part of Iman. She had the Iman hidden somewhere in her life. And she let her out, she portrayed that. She exercised that, so in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her enter the Jannah. So my brothers and my sisters, generosity is a good character. And it's a good character of a Muslim to be generous. To be generous. And when we say generosity, Like, you can't ever exaggerate in generosity. And you can't ever exaggerate in some areas when it comes to generosity. But at the same time, you have to balance it out. Like, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومٌ مَحْتُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not open or keep your hands too open, nor that you grab your neck with your hand. Which is what? In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is implying to, when it comes to giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا. When you give for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, you have to have that balance. Don't give all your wealth. And then also be tight. Balance it out. When you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to ever exaggerate. If you can give, give. If you can give, give. The only time that you can ever exaggerate in your generosity is when you have a guest. That's what the scholars say. The only time the ever exaggeration in generosity is accepted is when you have a guest. Why? Because that's part of iman. But it shouldn't reach to the limit or to the extent in which that sometimes you become too generous to the extent that you start wasting the food or the hospitality that you had prepared for someone. And it happens a lot of the times. MashaAllah, you've got 5 people coming over, you cook 50 people. So what happens to the leftover food? You throw it in the bin. That's haram too. If you had prepared that, you know what, I'll cook 50 people, whatever is left over, I'll eat it later on, no problems. But to throw that food is haram. And a lot of the times we see that happening. So the only time that you are allowed to ever exaggerate in your generosity and hospitality to someone is when you have a guest. Because that's part of iman. That's part of iman. And one of the requirements of the guest, obviously, when someone comes to someone's house, you have to be respectful. You enter someone's house, you don't look right and left trying to discover something in the house of someone, in which some people have that. You know, some people just, you know, they're nosy people. Yeah, nosy people that enter someone's house and they just want to know, okay, what's here, what's there, oh, look at the photos here, how much is this, how much is that. That's not a good quality of a guest. When you go to someone's house, you walk in, lower your gaze, respect the house, you enter the house, and you sit where you're told to sit. You don't just go and choose wherever you want to sit. So much so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when you enter someone's house, you shouldn't be sitting on a couch or a chair that's known to be that's the most preferred chair to the owner of the house. So if I go in and I know there's that particular couch and I know that the owner of the house, that's his favorite couch, I don't sit on it. Unless you grant permission. You go and there's about 10 couches and you know that this is the most preferred one. You know, whether you know this person or you could see from the resemblance of that couch, you shouldn't be sitting on it. SubhanAllah, look how beautiful Islam is. It teaches us the best form of etiquette, the best form of behavior, whether you're a guest or a host. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you, you walk in, lower your gaze, then look around, then sit on someone's favorite chair, unless you are granted permission to do so. So if, like, for example, I prefer this chair, and I told you, look, tafadhal, it's all right. But for you to look and say, well, is this where you sit? Okay, I'm going to sit here. You know, typical people that you've got these days. No. Respect people's privacy. And you as a host, you should come out of your way to comfort your guest. Islamically, you should come out of your way to comfort your guest. Welcome your guest. SubhanAllah, the concept of hospitality these days, it's fizzling out. It's dying out. SubhanAllah. It's dying out. People don't care anymore. Oh, you know what? He came over. All right. Yeah, sit down. Well, what do you have to say? That's it. See ya. See ya. And subhanAllah, we don't even look forward to having guests anymore. This is the day and age that we live in now. We don't even look forward to having guests anymore. And that's why what is happening right now, when you want to see someone, or you want to invite someone, you take him out to lunch. You go to a restaurant, you go to a cafe. That's what's happening these days. And look, we're all in it. I know, we're all encountering this. People don't like people to come to their places anymore. In the past, your house used to be like a hotel. People in and out. And you know, one of the customs of the Arabs, they will never ever reject someone. They will never ever reject someone that comes to their house as a guest. Even if they don't know them. Even if they don't know them. Arabs back then, if someone knocks on their door and says, I'm a stranger, I'm looking for a place for me to sleep out, ahla wa sahla. Now even if you don't know who he is, they welcome them. They welcome them, ahla wa sahla, come in. And it's rude for an Arab back then for them to even ask a question, what's the purpose of your visit before 3 days? That's customary according to the Arabs. They will never ask a guest, even though that guest is a totally stranger, they've never seen him before, they've never been here before. They'll tell him, ahla wa sahla, sleep over. And they don't even ask him one question. Why are you here? What's the reason that you came here? Where are you going? What's your objective of your travel? After 3 days, they'll ask. Subhanallah. Good characteristics. Now, they're coming over. Tell them, I'm not even here. I'm not at home. Subhanallah. We've lost that. We've lost the touch of hosting people over and bringing people to your place and having a guest, because you get rewards at the end of the day. Even though it's your own mother and father, you invite them over as guests. Your own brother and sister, you invite them over as guests. Your neighbors, you invite them over as guests. Your friends, you invite them over as guests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you for that. How beautiful is Islam? You live your everyday life and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you rewards for the things that you do. Even if it's part of customs. Even if it's part of traditions. As long as you do the right thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you. And that's why in the second hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ جَائِزَتَهُ قَالُوا وَمَا جَائِزَتُهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ يَوْمُهُ وَلَيْلَتُهُ وَالضِّيَافَةُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ فَمَا كَانَ وَرَأَ ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ صَدَقَةٌ عَلَيْهِ. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Day of Judgment, then let them be generous to his guests and give the guests the rewards. Give them their rights. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, what are the rights of the guests? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to accommodate him for 1 day and night. Up to 3 days and nights. So one of the rights of the guests upon you is not half an hour or 2 hours. One of the rights of the guests upon you is 1 day and night, up to 3 days and nights. Islamically. Hala, look, doesn't mean wallah ta'il damma can go to people's house. Wallah, the Sheikh said 1 day and night and go and stay there overnight. I'll kick you out. Okay. But if someone is stuck, someone came from overseas or someone came from interstate and they're looking for a place. Someone came from overseas or interstate, they're looking for a place. He's got a right over you. 1 day and night. Up to 3 days and nights. After that, you could say to them, look, you can leave. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, anything beyond 3 days and nights, sadaqatun alay. It is a charity upon them. It's no longer a right. It's like, you know, your 2.5% out of your wealth is fard, obligatory donation. But anything beyond that is considered to be a charity donation, voluntary donation. And going back to the customs of the Arabs, that used to be part of the customs of the Arabs. 3 days and nights. Hosting a guest. And subhanAllah, you know, they used to fight over the guests. They used to fight. They used to take pride in it. Take pride. I've got guests at my place. How many guests do you have at your place? Five? I've got 10. Five? I've got 10. They used to fight over them. SubhanAllah, we're going to Hajj. I'm going to Hajj, not this Friday, following Friday. And subhanAllah, now, which is unfortunate, the prices of the hotels, they get so hyped, so expensive, you can't even pay for it anymore. And you've got the locals, not all of course, subhanAllah, you still have that character, you still have some of those locals who are still implementing the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the tradition of the Arabs. But the locals, they capitalize on the huzzas, okay, to make money out of them, come and stay at my place, but I charge you this and I charge you that. Very expensive, extremely expensive. You know, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, not only during the time of Islam, before the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Arabs, they used to fight over the pilgrims. They used to fight over them.
Tribes used to fight over who's going to host this pilgrim for free. Not fight over him, he's going to pay more. Now he's going to fight over this customer because he's going to come in my hotel, he's going to come into my apartment, he's going to come into my place, he's going to pay me money. They used to fight over pilgrims, strangers who are coming out of Medina to come to, or coming out of Mecca, coming to Mecca to perform pilgrimage. They used to fight over him to host them. They're accommodating them, they're paying for their food, for the water, whatever assistance they used to need. Subhanallah, that's the Arabs. And that's why one of the things, like in Mecca used to be like governed by their own tribes. And one of the portfolios they used to have the portfolio of military, for example. And they used to have the portfolio of governance. And they used to have a portfolio of looking after the Hujjaj. Tribes used to fight over that one. Please keep your kids next to you, please, quietly, thanks. One of the portfolios they used to have, they used to divide amongst the tribes, a siqaya, which is giving water to the Hujjaj. And they used to fight over the portfolio of hospitality to the Hujjaj. Not hospitality that, wallah, I'm going to have my own hotel and people pay from your own pocket. And that's why Bani Abdul Muttalib, the family of the Prophet Muhammad, used to look after the hospitality. They used to fork out from their own pockets. They used to fund it themselves to feed the Hujjaj. Because they used to take pride in taking care of the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to take pride in taking care of the guests. And that's the character of a believer. These people are Arabs, non-believers before Islam. They used to take pride in that. We as Muslims, we should take pride in taking care of our guests. Take pride of someone coming in. Give them whatever you've got. No, wallah, you know what? These two packets of chips. This is the expensive one, this is the cheap one. Give them the cheap one and keep this one for me and my wife. Can't be bothered. Come out of your way. It's part of Iman. Part of Iman. So he's going to take me in as a guest tonight. Khalas, done? Allahu Akbar. I'm not going to say yes, sir. Tomorrow he told me, wallah, come and take you in as a guest. So I'm just going to keep it to myself. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, one of the rights of your guests upon you, that for him to stay a day and night. Up to 3 days and nights. After that, the guest is not entitled to ask for more than that. He's not entitled, that's it. But subhanAllah, the Sharia doesn't only speak about the host and the etiquette of the host, but also speaks about the guest and the etiquette of the guest. So the guest also must be a noble person, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا يَكُلْ طَعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِي. Only someone that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be eating your food. So you should also be mindful of the people that come in your house and make sure they only invite people in your house that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you don't want to expose your house to strangers who don't fear Allah azza wa jal, or people are there for ulterior motives, or people are there for the wrong intention. And as a guest, I have to respect my host. One of the primary respects that the Sharia wants you to respect as a guest, as someone entering someone's house, respect their privacy. Very important. Respect their privacy. You enter the house, don't look around and try and fetch for something, or try and discover something, or try and listen to something. And that's why, subhanAllah, one of the things that our mashaykh is to teach us, when you get into a lounge, for example, or a guest room, try and always give your back to the door. So at least when it opens the door, the privacy of the house of this person is not exposed. So don't always, you know, like, be selective where you sit. So if the door is in front of me, I'll give my back to it. Give that privacy and that respect to the owner of the house. Sit in modesty. Try and not take or exploit the generosity of your host to your advantage. Oh, I get this and take that. What's this and that? And one of the etiquettes, as a guest here we're talking about, not as a host. You, someone is visiting someone's house, or you are staying in someone's house, not to ask too many questions. You know, sometimes we've got this thing in which we become too nosy. We want to know everything. Oh, how much is this? How much did you buy that? Where did you get the money from? How much do you earn? How much this? And what's that? And can I take this? Can I bring that?
That's rude too. So there's got to be that moderation, there's got to be that balance in everything that you do. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, wherever you find moderation, you find there is that balance, that respect. But the moment that moderation is taken out of anything, illa shana, then it becomes imbalanced. So as a guest, you shouldn't be asking too many questions. Don't ask too many questions. Don't touch. Don't fiddle around with things. Don't put your nose into something that's not of your business. Don't criticize too much. Oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, this and that. It's not your house. You know, sometimes people come to your place and they want to criticize your furniture. I mean, I like it this way. I'm happy with it that way. Oh, you should have put it in that corner. Yeah, I'm sitting on it, not you. You've got people that've got that mentality. You know? Don't put your nose in too many things. And subhanAllah, Arabs have that character. They want to come in and just criticize this and that. Oh, this should have been this and this, that. In a way, you know, akhi, people have different tastes. What you like, I probably don't like it. What I like, you probably don't like it. So it doesn't mean just because you've got one particular taste, your taste is everyone's taste. And your thought is everyone's thought. So respect people's privacy, and that's number one core issue that the Sharia focuses on regarding guests. People's privacy. And subhanAllah, you know, when you talk about privacy, you know, this is something that just been emerging in the last 100 years, respecting people's privacy. Islam had spoken about that 1,500 years ago. People's privacy. Everyone's privacy. Especially as a guest, you have to respect your host's privacy. And the host should respect the guest's privacy too. Not to ask too many questions. Look, subhanAllah, as I mentioned to you, one of the customs used to be so rude. Used to be a taboo. Rude. Disrespectful that you've got a guest over and you're asking questions, what did you even come here for? You know, that typical question, you know. That's the first thing they ask a traveler when you first see him. What are you here for? The Arabs never used to even ask that question. So they don't embarrass the guest. So they don't put him in a corner. After 3 days, they'll ask him. After 3 days, they'll ask. Subhanallah. For ikhwan, Islam is about building up characters. Not only faith. Not only establishing your faith, but building your character, making you to be the best character in society. Whether you're a guest or a host. In whatever you do, be the best. Because that's what Islam is about. And subhanallah, we live in a Western society, we live in a non-Muslim country. How many people embrace Islam because they visited a Muslim? And they were overwhelmed and touched by the generosity of that Muslim. Subhanallah, you know how many times I've seen it? You know how many times I've heard it? I embrace Islam because I visited this Muslim. So a non-Muslim visits this non-Muslim. And he says, I was just blown away. I was just overwhelmed with the hospitality of Muslims. And subhanAllah, because of that hospitality, this person, not only that you fed them and wallah, he's talking good about you, you saved him from the hellfire. Subhanallah, because of the generosity. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has another motive out of that. The Sharia has another motive out of you being generous to your guest. It's da'wah. When you're generous to your guest, that's also part of da'wah. You are captivating people to Islam. And I'm sure you probably experienced that yourself. Where you invite non-Muslim into your place, and these people walk out of your house with a very good impression of Islam. Because of your generosity. Subhanallah, ikhwani, wallah, I hear that so many times. The other day I had a politician say, oh, Muslims are very generous people when it comes to hospitality. Alhamdulillah, yes, he's a politician, this and that. We all know politicians. Not all, of course, but you know, they give you a lot of lip service. Bibi'uk haki, they say a lot of words, you know, as they say in Arabic. It's all lip service. But subhanAllah, it's a good impression that people have that Muslims, mashallah, when it comes to hospitality, they're very generous, they're very good. It's a good impression to leave behind. It's da'wah at the end of the day. Because Islam doesn't like stinginess. Islam doesn't like selfishness. Islam came to get rid of stinginess and selfishness. Eliminate that out of your life. Because stinginess and selfishness creates a lot of other evil actions. Because of selfishness, people are envious. There's hasad and envy because of selfishness. Because of selfishness, people are dying from poverty. Because of selfishness, people become very greedy. Because of selfishness, there's a lot of implications, there's a lot of bad things that emerge out of selfishness. Islam wants to come and eliminate that. If not eliminate, at least restrain it. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us how to restrain our souls. Everyone's born with a generous side of them and a selfish side of them. But Islam wants your generous side to overtake your selfish side. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again, he says, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفًا. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Day of Judgment, be generous to your guest. Remember that one. Next time you have a guest over, be generous to him. Even at least with a nice word. That's the minimum. A welcoming face and a nice word. How ugly is it when you go to someone's house and the guy's frowning? It's like, you know, you're not welcome here. That's not nice. At least that's the minimum generosity they should be offering to your guests. Minimum generosity that you should be offering your guest is nice words and beautiful face. Nabi Sassim says a smile is sadaqah. This is to the average person. What about your guest? Nice words. And then discomfort your guests. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who listen and hear, act upon whether listen to him. Allah azza wa jal make us from the true believers who act upon iman and live iman and implement iman and apply iman in their life. And this is part of iman. Measure your iman with the measurement of iman. And one of them is being generous to your guest. Measure your iman with the measurement of iman. What's the measurement of iman? Is that you are generous to your guest. So be generous inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhanaka Allah bhamdik. Mashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Person's destiny. Inshallah, Jannah, Jannah, Jannah.